This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, amongst the favors Allah Ta'ala has granted us, one of the greatest favors is the favor of the tongue. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given the tongue the ability to formulate words, which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has described as a favor together with the Quran. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. Ar-Rahman, the one who taught you the Quran. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. And then together with the Quran, Allah says He taught you the ability of speech. So Allah has made mention of the favor of speech together with the favor of the Quran. What a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. This tongue has the ability to give many, many benefits. Your iman is not complete until you proclaim La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Your iman is not complete. You can give advice, you can give amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Yet at the same time, this very same tongue, if it comes to do harm, it can harm people. Many of the guna and sins that we commonly commit today is mostly owing to the indiscretions of the tongue. Someone had said words can be medicines, but they can also be poison. They can heal and they can also kill. It all depends on how and where you use them and against whom you use them. So this is the aspect of the tongue. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith, every day, every morning, all the organs of the body, they plead in front of the tongue. If you remain straight, we will remain straight. If you become crooked, we will become crooked. If you do things and say things that is good and you give commitments to that which is correct, we have to follow. And if you give commitments to that which is wrong, we also have to follow. So every day, the organs of the body, they plead in front of the tongue to remain correct and to remain steadfast. Zaban Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ki bari ni'mat hai. Aur ye imtihan bhi hai. Isliye Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne musalmanon ko zaban ke gunahon se khabardar kiya hai. Ke zaban ke gunahon se aap bache. Kyunki ye ek ni'mat bhi hai. Aur ye ek zahmat bhi hai. Aur unme se اور زبان کے گناہوں میں سے سر فہرست گناہ جو ہے وہ غیبت ہے. Now after making mention of the tongue, the benefits and also the harms, one of the harms of the tongue, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has warned us about, is that of backbiting. Now many people will ask and say, what is the meaning of backbiting? Many times we will even, you know, make a joke and we will say the definition of backbiting is sharing opinions about other people's life. Sharing opinion about other people's lives. That's how we normally will say it. But look at what our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined ghibat at. One day he said, "Atadruna mal ghibah?" Oh my sahaba, do you know what is ghibat? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne ek martaba sahaba se poocha ki kya آپ جانتے ہو کہ کیا غیبت کیا ہے. تو then the صحابہ they said Allah and his Rasul knows best. اللہ اور رسول کو زیادہ پتا ہے. تو So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, speaking something about your next Muslim or your next person, that if he comes to know about it, he will dislike it. Remember what I'm saying. That if you say something, if he comes to know about it, he will dislike it. Apne bhai ke bare mein aur unki ghair maujoodgi mein ise baat kehna ki agar unko pata chale to usko bure lage, usko sahi na lage, to ye hai ghibat. This is ghibat. Immediately, if I have to tell you that, you and I will say, but what if I say that which is correct? What if I say that which is correct? Agar wo baat sachi baat ho to kya ho? To ye bhi ghibat hai. To Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne kaha, sachi baat ho to yehi to ghibat hai. Agar galat baat ho to ye tuhmat hai jo ghibat se bhi badtar hai. To Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, if you are saying the truth, that is ghibat and backbiting. For if you say something that is false, it is slander, which is even worse than ghibat and backbiting. Now many a times you and I we will say, but main to unke muh par kehne ke liye tayyar hoon. I am prepared to say the same thing on his face. Go and tell him on his face. Because if you don't tell him on his face and you say it behind his back, it is backbiting. For you to say, I am prepared to say it on his face, is not good enough to cover you from the guna and sin of backbiting. There's many a times you see it, it's common knowledge. I'm prepared to say it on his face. I'm prepared to tell him on his face, go and tell him. But if you haven't told him and you're saying it behind his back, it is backbiting. Ulama have written, backbiting is not only in the definition of backbiting, it covers every aspect. It covers speaking bad about a person's conduct, about his background, about his family, about his appearance, about his clothes, about his car. Every aspect to speak bad about another person, it is backbiting. To ye ye, aap kisi ke jismani uyub ke bare mein, uske baat kare, khandan ke bare mein, unke akhlaq ke bare mein, unke deen ke bare mein, unke sawari ke bare mein, ye sab ghibat ke hai. Sab ghibat mein dakhil hai. Ye sab ghibat mein dakhil hai. Yahan tak, up till this stage, even if you were to make even if you have to make through the means of an ishara, just if you indicate something, that will also fall under the definition of ghibat and backbiting. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, one day, when someone came, when she went away, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala indicated that she is very short. She is very short. So when she is very short, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked her and said, that is also wrong. Aapne ishara se kuch kaha, or you said something that is derogatory, that is also part of ghibat. You know, sometimes you make jokes with regard to someone. I remember when I was ustad, so the children used to tease one another. So one person used to say, you are so tall, by the time you drink milk, it comes in your stomach, it is sour milk. So you, even that particular aspect to say someone, he is so tall, yeh aisa hai, woh aisa hai, also part. And then in a hadith, al-mustami'u ahad al-mukhtabin. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, to hear ghibat is also part of definition of ghibat. If you hear, then you can't say, I didn't say it. Maine kuch nahi kaha, main to aise hi sun raha tha. No, no, no. You were there when someone spoke bad in front of you. It was your responsibility either to tell him to not do it or either to walk away from them. By you listening to it, you are part of the guna. Now, after understanding the aspect with regard to what it is, let us now understand what Islam had said. وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, says Allah in the Holy Quran. Do not backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ, do you love to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Quran mein, ghibat ko apne murda bhai ka gosh kane ke mutaradif kaha hai. It is equivalent to eat the flesh of your dead brother. And then, you know, ulama, there is a very interesting, you know, saying in Arabic, lahmul ulama'i masmuma. And to eat, to say, to make ghibat, it is equivalent to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Then there is an Arabic saying, it's not a hadith, Arabic saying, the flesh of ulama is poisonous. Can you imagine? To make ghibat of ulama is even more worse. Because the flesh of ulama is poisonous. It will come back to bite you. Right? So this is, and in a hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibat is even worse than zina. Ghibat is even worse than zina. Now, how many times you and I, we will make ghibat, this one had an affair, this one did this. But that aspect of you saying that is even worse than what he had did. But no one regards it as such. You know what is amazing is that we commit this, you know, this is something that we commit it and we don't even regard it as a sin. It is so common that it is no more regarded as a sin. Someone said, it is, no one claims to like or indulge in backbiting or gossiping, yet everyone enjoys it. Huh? That's a sad part with regard to it. Now let us look at the reasons. Why has Islam spoken so highly against backbiting? Huh? Ghibat, why has Islam spoken so much bad about backbiting? There are reasons with regard to it. Unki wujuhat ke bina par Islam ne itna sakht qadam uthaya hai. And before I make mention of it, let me just say one more other thing. When you make ghibat of another person, you are giving your good deeds. You making ghibat of someone, you are giving your good deeds. That is why it is narrated about two people in our history. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when they came to hear about someone backbiting about them, they sent them a gift. So the person who was doing the backbiting was quite surprised. I am speaking bad about this person and he's sending me a gift. So they asked, why did you send me a gift? He said, we are sending you a gift because you are giving us your good deeds. We are sending you a gift because you are giving us your good deeds. Now let us look at the reasons why. Why is it so bad? Amongst the reasons, and these reasons also give us the type to think, how can we engage in backbiting? One of it is, those who indulge in backbiting are hiding their own imperfections and harming others. Apne uyub ko dekhte nahi, aur dusre ke uyub ke baare mein baat karte hain. That is why there is one, you know, saying, which is attributed to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Allah knows best. Backbiting is the attempt of one who is incapable of doing better himself. Backbiting is an attempt of one who is incapable of doing better himself. This is one of the reasons. Another reason which the ulama have made and said that Allah has not made you the guardian of other people's a'mal. Allah Ta'ala ne aapko thekadar nahi banaya dusro ke amal ke bare mein. Since when has Allah made you the guardian of other people's actions? وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't go and speak about that which you do not have knowledge about. Now that particular person, what he is doing, why is he doing it? Allah has his plan, Allah has his knowledge. You don't know the reality with regard to it. But one important point is for us to realize, Allah hasn't made you the guardian of other people's amal. Allah Ta'ala ne aapko thekedar nahi banaya dusro ke amal ke bare mein. And Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah in the qabr will not ask you about other people's amal. Allah aap se sawal nahi karenge dusro ke amal ke bare mein. Allah will ask you about your deeds. Why are you talking about other people's bad deeds? Are you the guardian of other people's bad deeds? They are the guardians. They will have to reply. They will have to answer. What are you talking about other people's bad deeds? What about your deeds? Pari jo apne hai wo par nazar to jahan mein koi bura na raha. When you started looking at your own evil, then no one else is bad and no one else has got faults. So the second reason is, Allah has not made you a guardian of other people's. Then another aspect is, many a times you will find, what is the motivation with regard to backbiting? Log ghibat kyu karte ho? Kyu karte hai? Aur agar dekha jaye, to ye sab bina aur sab wujuhat, ye galat cheezon ke upar mabni hai. Sometimes you backbite about someone because you regard yourself as superior to another person. You will only backbite about another person if you regard yourself as superior to him. Now, who gave you the right to regard yourself as superior? Who gave you the right? هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah knows you when, before your inception and conception. When, you know, when the atoms that were supposed to formulate your conception were still scattered in the earth, Allah says, I knew you that time. I knew you ajinnatun fi butuni ummahatikum. I knew you before you were accountable for your deeds when you were still in the womb of your mother. I know you from bottom to top. I know you before your conception. I know you at the time of your conception. I know you after your conception. Fala tuzakku anfusakum. Don't praise yourself. Don't regard yourself as superior. I know who is superior. I know who's got taqwa. Now, many a times, a person who commits backbiting, he will regard himself superior to another person who is backbiting, and there's no doubt whatsoever. Many a times people do that. And that is something that is not Sharia sanctioned. It is not something that Allah Ta'ala has liked. Sometimes the aspect with regard, the motivation for backbiting would be anger, would be jealousy, would be hatred. All of that has been prohibited in our Sharia. Right? So that is also another aspect. Sometimes for us to realize that nobody is perfect. We are all lacking in some way. And when you are talking bad about another person, then what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say you are perfect? Sabke andar uyub hai. To aap agar kisi ke bare mein aur inke uyub ke bare mein baat kar rahe ho, to kya iska matlab ye hai ki aap aib se paak hai? Aap aib se balatar hai? Does it mean you are free from faults? So everyone has got some faults with regard to it. By talking about the bad of other people, it gives the impression that you are feeling that you are free from faults. These are some of the facts. Another aspect is with regard to fault finding. So many times we take pleasure with regard to finding faults in other people. And we all know something that I have made mention many a times, that Allah has said, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. A mu'min is a mirror to another believer. So a mirror doesn't publicize your faults in front of other people. A mu'min, when he sees the faults of other people, he tries to rectify, amend it, rather than vilifying the person. You know, if you see a fault in another person, your immediate concern should be to try and have a concern with regard to amending it, rectifying it, bringing you upon the right path, not to sit and talk about it in front of other people. That is something that has never been sanctioned in our Sharia and has never been the way of the awliya and the way of Islam. Then another important point, and I will just conclude the aspects with regard to the reasons for the prohibition of backbiting. And we are starting to see some of the consequences of this reason in our community and society today. Backbiting and gossiping tarnishes people's reputation and kills their dignity. Moreover, it implants seeds of hatred and grudge amongst people. Therefore, it deprives people and community and society of living peacefully and productively. When communities are afflicted with backbiting and gossiping, it causes hatred and grudges to prevail over our entire community and society. When backbiting becomes common in our society, what happens is, it causes hatred and grudges to prevail in our society. People fail to build strong relationships and be united on common causes. The entire society becomes in trouble. Because of backbiting, we create a community which is full of hatred and grudges. My dear respected brothers, because of backbiting becoming common, this is the position of our societies today. So each and everyone has a role to play. Stop the backbiting so that you can prevent the societies to become prevalent and become completely prevalent with hatred and grudges. So it's a very interesting, you know, incident that once on one occasion, a person came to an ulama and scholar and said, I like to make tawbah with regard to the backbiting that I have done. Where is a true story? Where is a hypothetical tale? It's something very interesting. So the alim told him, the scholar told him that, okay, what you do is, let me think about this, but what you do tomorrow is, you cut a chicken. And after cutting the chicken, you de-feather the feathers of the chicken, and you scatter it everywhere around, and you come back to me tomorrow. So he said, okay, I will do this. So the next day he went to slaughter a chicken. He defeathered it, took the feathers and threw it around and scattered it around. And he came to the alim. So when he came to the alim and the scholar, he said, now, did you do what I said? He said, yes. He said, can you go and get all those feathers for me? Go and get all those feathers for me. He said, where am I going to get all those feathers? It's impossible for me to get all those feathers. Where and where it has gone? He said, you asked me yesterday with regard to asking for Toba, for Ghibat. Go and get back what you had said from all the people where that statement of yours has reached. Then go and ask, then go and make Toba. Go and get back that statement. Where and where that statement had reached, go and get it back. Then you can go make Toba. Do we realize the consequences of it? The ulama have said that there are certain exceptions. And those exceptions are documented. But remember, exceptions are not the rule. Exceptions are exceptions. They are a very small category with regard to the exceptions. Ulama had said, Allah in the Quran says, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِسُوءٍ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. If you have been oppressed, you can go to the people who can do something about your oppression to remove the oppression from you. You can go and speak about it. Someone come and ask you a mashura, that my son wants to get married to this girl. Do you know anything with regard to it? Do you know anything about the boy? Now, if you know something, it is al-mustasharu mu'taminun. Someone come and ask you something, it's a amanat upon you to tell the person. Only that person, not go and tell the whole world. These are exceptions. But the exceptions are never the rule, my dear respected brothers. Just to give you one or two examples, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Man ayyara akhahu bidham, lam yamut hatta ya'malaha. Whoever taunts a person about a guna that he has committed, the hadith says, you won't die until you commit that guna. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, even if I see a person sucking the teats of an animal to drink the milk directly from that animal, which is something that is very unusual, I won't taunt him. Perhaps I will also do the same. And Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh, you know, used to say that one day I saw the reality of this. One day I saw the reality. He said, I called a person, ya muflis, oh you bankrupt person. I became involved in such a debt that took me very long time to pay. I called him muflis, you bankrupt person. And because of that, I got involved in a debt that took me very long time to pay. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, the ulama and the fuqaha of the past, they used to make wuzu after making ghibat. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, the way after you make, you know, you make najasat, you make wuzu. He said, the ulama of the past, they used to make wuzu after they make ghibat. Brothers, this is the aspect with regard to ghibat. May Allah Ta'ala keep us away from this guna and sin that we hardly ever regard as a sin. Yet look at what Allah and His Rasul and the awliya have told us. May Allah Ta'ala keep our tongue pure and free from backbiting and all other aspects. Each and everyone. Don't go and look at another person. Each and everyone look at himself. How much am I involved in this? And how I must rid myself of it? وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.